bring souls to you today in this service. We pray you'd bless this offering for the use of your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Let's continue to sing. We're going to sing a hymn called Higher Ground. Talks about becoming more mature in Christ and just continuing to move forward. Let's sing. I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand, my faith on heaven's stable land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise. Our choir is going to sing a song called Be Thou My Vision. The words to this song date back to the 8th century. That's quite a while ago. And I wanted to put the words on the screen. It's a beautiful song. Beautiful song. The lyrics speak to your heart. But we don't talk like this anymore. And so I want you to follow the slides as the choir sings, Be Thou My Vision.
Be thou my vision, O Lord, I
do one more song. Holy Forever. Holy Forever. Here we go. Ready? One, two. Let's sing together. A thousand generations falling down in worship to sing a song of ages to the land. And all who've gone before us, and all who will believe, will sing a song of ages to the land.
Your name.
Your name is the highest. Your name is the greatest. Your name stands above them all. All thrones and dominions, all powers and positions, your name
Psalm 139. That music doesn't do something for you. You need something done for you today, and I hope that it will happen for you. Three things quickly. This is the first thing. Easter is coming. Has anybody heard of it? We're going to celebrate the resurrected Jesus as we do every week around here, but we have one special week, and this is April 20th. Don't forget to take these with you. Hand them out in your community somewhere. Let somebody know, hey, we want you to come and worship with us, hear about our risen Jesus. And we just, yes, right? Our holy, holy, holy God. And so we hope that you'll do that. On the backside is an egg hunt. We need your candy. You need to bring all of it from your house. Stop hoarding your candy, people, and start bringing it into the horse trough out front. And we will administer that as soon as we possibly can on April 20th. Last but not least, if you are planning to come to the men's breakfast, we need you dudes. Look at me, dudes. All of you dudes. We need you guys to sign up in the lobby. It's super important that guys get together, hang out, get to know each other, and that we sharpen one another. This is going to be Branson. He's a dude's dude. He is our coach, our resident coach slash youth pastor, and he takes care of business with our guys around here. Everybody knows this. And so we hope that you'll sign up in the back. We're going to feed you. He's going to speak for about 45. I'm just kidding. He's going to go just a little bit. And then we're going to talk as men in different groups and pray together. And then I need to meet with our emergency management team right after that. So don't forget that. And today, if you have signed up for a membership class, don't neglect to go over to the gym directly after this service is over. We'd love to have you get to know who we are, our structure, strategies, planning, what God is doing at Cornerstone. And he's doing some amazing things. Can I get an amen? Amen. And he has been for some time. Psalm 139 is where we're going to be. I'm not going to have you rise yet, because here's what I know, is that God loves variety. God has created a lot of stuff. 300,000 beetles. I think that's a little creative overkill, in my opinion, but I'm not God. I think 50,000 would have been plenty, but God chose in his divine will to create that many beetles. He loves variety. And 1 cubic feet of snow, there are 18 million snowflakes, and not one of them is alike, is it? Nobody else is going to see that but God. He loves differences and variety. I don't know about you, but I like to people watch. I watch from up here sometimes. Sometimes you're a little hateful. Sometimes you're a happy camper. I love it, and that really means a lot. But I don't know if you've ever been in an airport and you like to people watch. You like to see the uniqueness and how people respond and how people deal with adversity, right? The DMV, these kind of places. Watching people's reactions makes my day sometimes. It just does. It really means a lot to me. But what I love about the fact is that God makes every shape, every intensity in its color, every size, incredible variety all over the world, and he made you too. In Psalm 139, if you would stand with me right quick, in verse 13, a well-known passage, but he says, "For you created my innermost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, and your works are wonderful. I know that full well." You may be seated. Job chapter number 10, verse 8, talks about the fact that they knew. He said, your hands have formed me and shaped me. And so from these verses, we learn some foundational truths of what God has done. Number one is that I am and you are unique. That not anybody in the world is like you. There ain't no one like you. He broke the mold when he made you. God doesn't create carbon copies, does he? He only creates originals. And I love that about our God. There is no one that has your footprint, your fingerprint, your voice print. There is no one like you who has ever lived. And so why would he go to all that trouble? Because he wants you to know how special you are. How much that he cares about you. That you are imago Dei, made in the image and likeness of God. That you were made with dignity, value, and worth. And that leads us to understand that we were made wonderfully complex. How many of you married somebody wonderfully complex? Can I get a witness? Yeah. I mean, all of us could raise our hands. My wife is wonderfully complex. I'm pretty simple. Yeah, I really am. But what I know is sometimes we're even a mystery to ourselves. There's sometimes that you act the way you act and you're like, why do I act that way? When other people are saying one opinion, your opinion differs with their opinion. You're like, why do I do that? Why do I say things that are out of place when they shouldn't be said? Like, I love the awkward. I love it. I love to make things awkward because it just is so out of place. But that's something I've done my whole life. Now, I used to do it not on purpose, right? And people would make fun of me. But now I do it on purpose because I want to see people's reaction. But you act the exact opposite of everyone else. And inside you're thinking, what's wrong with me? Nothing wrong with you. God has made you uniquely you. And the older I get, the more unique I get, the more I love the dad joke. Oh, I had dad jokes pulled up. The more I love these kind of jokes and I send them to the family thread. Now, as most of you know, I have 11 kids and I do this family thread thing. And so what I'll do is I will send out on the family thread just different dad jokes. This one, get this one. You can't plant flowers if you ain't botany. I sent this picture to them yesterday. Raccoons are saddle-breaking feral hogs and riding them into battle against possums. The media probably won't cover that. And then I sent that to all of my people, I sent it to my friends, and I said, I know y'all got problems in your area of the country, but this happened in East Texas last night. So I got one for this message. I thought it was, you know how you catch a unique rabbit? Unique up on it, yes. You know how you catch a tame rabbit? The tame way, yes. Good job. Man, I hope today that, man, I get a shot to shed some light on your uniqueness. This Wednesday night, we start a 301 seminar, Discovering Your Shape. I'd like to invite you to it. We're going to really study, get deep on this. And so we're going to go verse by verse on that Wednesday night, this coming Wednesday, and the next Wednesday. You can sign up out in the lobby. That was my commercial. But here's what I know. Is that God has shaped you for His purpose. His purpose, His agenda, everything that God put in the world, He created on purpose. Can I get a yes? And that by design, He has created you, not by accident, not to take up space, just for the reason that He has purpose for you. You were planned before birth. Acts 17:26. Check it out. He says, I have set up before the foundations of the world the boundaries and the habitations in which you would dwell, that you should walk in them. And so God has uniquely set you up in the boundaries and the habitation. Why were you born to who you were born to? You didn't have any say in that, did you? God did that. And He did it on purpose because He didn't just sit down at a computer and throw some numbers and weird squiggly lines together and code you. No, God genetically, purposefully, personally, orderly planned you on purpose. You were designed by God. And His loving hand made you that way. You're not an accident. When I was a kid, it was called God don't make no junk. When I was a kid growing up, that was the saying. Because God created you with uniqueness that He wants to offer the world. And He wants you to use it for His glory and the good of others. So today, five factors. Here it is, five. Five things that are included. And it's included for ministry. It's included for your workplace, your play, your hobbies, all the way down the line, the way you raise family, these things matter. These things matter. These things matter. And you're going to see why. Number one is, if you know Jesus, He has given each one of us a spiritual gift. Can I get an amen? Amen. And in giving us those spiritual gifts, He wanted us to know what that means. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 6, He says there are different kinds of gifts, but the same, what? Spirit distributes them. So who gave you, when you got Jesus, your spiritual gift or gifts? The Spirit of God did. God Himself gave you those particular gifts or gift. And there are some different kinds of service, but the same Lord, there are different kinds of working, but in all of them, in everyone, it is the same God at work. And so there are at least 20 listed in the Bible, if not more, spiritual gifts. And we're going to go over those in the class, and I hope that you'll come be a part of it, because every believer needs to understand you have been gifted by God, a gift to use for His glory and the good of others in every aspect of life. God says every believer has a spiritual gift, and you need to know what that means and what it does in you and through you. The second thing is your heart. What drives and motivates you? What gives you the reason and passion for which you do what you do? Why are you so passionate about some things and you couldn't care less about others? Really? Yeah, you know it's true. There are some things that you could not care less about, but God has given you certain things that you are all about. And in we know in Philippians chapter number 2, verse 13, it says, "For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill His good purpose." That God has given you abilities and He has given you a heart that you need to discover what it is that really drives you. What do I love to do? What does my mind think about? I'm not talking about sin, but what do I dream about? What does my mind automatically turn to? Because you can't get rid of the basic interest that God has instilled in you. You're unique in that. He says your gifts, you've been given a heart with inborn interests. You've been chosen for a purpose. You're not here by accident. You got certain interests, and other people have other interests. And God has put us all together in this church so that we can work together for common good, but for the glory of God and the good of others. A3, abilities. There are abilities. In 1 Corinthians 12, verses 5 and 6, we just read, He says there's different kinds of service, but the same Lord. He gives us different abilities to be a part of different services. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them, everyone, it is the same God at work. Researchers say that you have between 500 to 700 abilities. There are lots of people that don't feel that way. But if you can put your arm over your head, that's one ability. You're amazing. Right? That is, the average person has that many abilities. But most of us understand that He has shaped you. With some of you are interested in computers. Some of you are scared to death of computers. Some of you are artistic. Some of you like mechanical things. That's not me. I'm not good at it. Right? I got to call somebody. But you're gifted that way. God has given you the abilities to speak or work with people or maybe do music or abstract thought. You can put thoughts together and it really gives people an opportunity to understand in a better way. Mechanical minds, engineering minds. You like to entertain. You can't entertain because you fall on your face every time you try to entertain. Right? God has given you abilities to draw or speak or recruit or research or do landscape or build. Now, all of us have been given different abilities. I love it that God has Moses hunt a guy down in Exodus 31. Do you remember this passage? Anybody? He says, "Go seek out this guy, Bezalel. He says, go seek him out because he is full of the Spirit and I've given him all special kinds of abilities, all kinds of works he can do with his hands, the knowledge and all kinds of crafts. See, God has gifted you, given you abilities. He has given you natural talents. He has given some of you P personalities, big P, big personalities, and some of you not so much. And he did that on purpose because the Bible says the root of your personality is the way you think, the way you feel will drive you towards the way you act. And so God will use terminology to help you understand that it is a matter of fact that you have all been given certain personalities. Now, when Samuel goes to look for the guy, right? He says, stop looking, First Samuel 16, stop looking at the outer, stuff, because what really matters is what's on the inside. And when you get to the scripture that says, guard your hearts, those kind of scriptures, what is he talking about? He's intentionally getting to the crux of who you are. He's saying, I know how you think, how you feel, and how you'll act. So guard your heart. And this is part of that personality, part of us, that God is constantly trying to get our attention on because personalities are complex. Researchers indicate that there are 18,000 different kind of components to personalities. That's a lot. And you think about putting all those together in different people. The person sitting next to you, you oddball. God made you that way. That's good. Yeah, I saw that. Years ago, there was a debate over if personality was nature or nurture. Here's what we know. Researchers have now said that it is now a fact that babies are born with some of that personality up in them already, imprinted. And you parents that are shaking your heads know exactly what I'm talking about. Like you'll have one baby who's complacent and loving and cooing. Oh, so awesome. They're awesome to be around. And then you have one that comes out chewing a cigar. Like, I will take over this joint right now. You better recognize. Right? You know what I'm talking about, right? And if you haven't experienced that, it's coming for you. Because I've had 11, and I promise you, I cannot believe what God has developed out of our loins in diversity. So your personality is complex. It's part of your shape. And then lastly is your experiences. God has given you experiences, and you all know the verse. We've been using it time after time. But Romans 8:28 is very specific. And we know that in all things God works for the good of them that love him. Those have been called according to his purpose. And so God has this path that he wants you to be on, right? And sometimes you get navigated out of it, right? And it's so awesome how God will allow that, whether it's circumstances or people or you're just a knucklehead, and he says, all right, I'm going to gather you back up, and then I'm going to put you back on the path, but it's not going to be the same, but it's still going to be for my glory, your good, my purpose is going to take place, and it's going to be for your good, for those of you that love God, that are called according to his purpose. Why? For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. So that you'd be more like who? Like Jesus. And if you don't get that around here, we've done messed up. You need to understand, God is working all of that so you can look just like his son, Jesus. And so our experiences are organized, purposeful, planning, personal experiences that he prepares for us and he uniquely allows in your life. He doesn't cause them all. No. But he does allow some of those things and he wants to work in your experiences because God never wastes a hurt. I am sick and tired of churches acting like when they walk in the door, we are just totally different people than we are outside those doors. Man, we have to be honest in this place. We ought to be foretelling what God has done in us. What does the Bible say? Confess your stuff to each other so that you may be. So you need to get out of you what's in you so that you may be healed. And some of you are bottled up with that stuff. And so experiences, God uses them for His glory and the good of others so that you can share that so that they can grow to be more like Jesus. Three things happen when you choose to walk in these. Five things, three things. They're all interrelated. They all grow up together. It's like the fruit of the Spirit. People love to talk about the fruit of the Spirit, but did you know that they all grow up together at the same time? They don't tend to just grow, right? It's all interrelated. Number two, your shape is fixed. It's stable. It endures. God made you the way He made you. As you go through different stages in life, you have different expressions of it, but your shape demonstrates itself every day in life. You're bent towards the basic shape that God made you to be since you were young. What happens at conversion when you get Jesus? When the Bible says you are born again of the Spirit, what happens? Jesus takes what you are and He turns it in a different direction. You with me on this? He actually takes who you are, He doesn't slow down, He just changes your direction. Look at the life of Paul. Dude was zealous. Dude was all about killing or taking Christians to jail. He was sharp in brain. He is one of the few that wasn't the last guy chosen in dodgeball on God's team. He's like the first team. And so God chooses this guy. He becomes a Christian. And He changes His direction. He channeled all of that in a new way. He didn't change His personality. He changed how He used it. He used it for good rather than for His selfish desires. Your shape is fixed. If you're pulling pranks when you were a kid, you're still pulling pranks with whoopee cushions and water balloons to this day and silly string. You're down like that. I'm still built that way. Yeah. If you were willing and dealing when you were a kid trading marbles, when you get to the nursing home, you're going to be trading up for bedpans. Yeah. Because you're a willer dealer. God has given you the opportunity to acquire. You're good at it. So you've acquired your whole life. You have enough that you can take care of business for your whole life. Maybe God wants to take that acquiring mechanism in you and use it for His glory and His kingdom good. Yeah. Not selfishly. If you like caring for hurt animals, you love that baby bird. I do not need any more animals, Nick. I am telling you right now that some of you were kind of built that way to care for people and animals and all those kinds of things. If you're still built that way, you're still doing that same thing. Loving people, taking care of people, worrying and wanting to be a part of people's life. That's a satisfying experience, isn't it? That you know how God has made you and fashioned you, and so you're using it for His glory and the good of others. The last thing is your shape is irrepressible. You cannot not be you. It's all you can be. There's no escaping being you. If you try to be somebody else, you'll spurt through somewhere. It becomes a pattern in your life. The fact is, maybe your job doesn't give you the opportunity to give your shape out. Maybe your job is not built that way. But I know some places where it can. One of them is called church. Yeah, maybe a charity, maybe a hobby, something that would give you an opportunity to do the thing God has made you to do. It's amazing how God uses those things, regardless of where we're at in our lives, and He uses them constantly in all kinds of scenarios. I candidated for a worship pastor's position. Coming for you. I'm just kidding. I don't have near the talent, just so you know. But I got the job. It was at a large church in Delaware, First Baptist Church of Delaware. And I remember sitting across from the pastor. I'd interviewed with the with the board. I'd interviewed with the staff, and then I interviewed with the pastor. And he got down to the end. He goes, "I'm going to give you the job." He goes, "You're a good worship guy." He says, "You're not great." And I was like, "I totally agree with you." But he said, "You know what come out of your mouth all the time when you were interviewing with us? How are we going to reach people for Jesus?" He said, "That was always coming out of your mouth. How are we going to help the hurting people?" That was always coming out of your mouth. And he goes, "The reason I hired you was not because you were an expert at music, but because I knew your heart was to see as many people as possible come to know, love, and follow Jesus." Does that not sound like me? I didn't take the job. Because I wasn't made to be a worship guy. But what I do know God has made me to be is to be a guy who loves hurting people, who loves those who are far from God, who need God. You know who I have a hard time trusting? And you're just going to have to hear me honestly in church. It's church people. My best friend will say the same thing at his place. He goes, "It's church people that I have a hard time trusting sometimes. Because we're almost always holding each other at arm's length. And we do some unjustifiable things that don't make any sense in the world as Christ followers. And we're all messy. Right. And that's good. But to be okay with being messy, that we can be a place where it's okay not to be okay. Right. But it's not okay to stay that way. You with me? That's the place we want to be. Those are the people that are my people. Those are the people that I sit across from and go, I can trust that dude. That dude, he ain't talking smack about me behind my back. You know what I'm saying? Right? I can trust that lady. I know, right? It's just a different thing. So why must I understand my shape? Real quickly. This will help you understand why you do what you do with authority, why you get mad or sad, or why you do power and freedom the way you do. Why you do confrontation the way you do, maybe some activities the way you do. But it will show you four things real quick. Number one, if you know your God-given shape, it will reduce your stress. The Bible says, those that compare themselves by themselves are unwise to do so. We don't compare ourselves. My buddy, my best friend, runs 3,500 in four churches. You don't think sometimes I go, "Oh, I'd like to be that guy." God didn't make me that guy. God didn't make me to compare with that guy. God made me me. And God made you you. And so I don't stress about whether I'm somebody else or if you talk smack. I am all about what does the will of God for me, and being in the center of that, which leads to the second point. It increases my success to be right in the center of God's will. That's the big idea. I want to be in the center of God's will. Yes or no, church?
Yes.
Yeah. This side, none of you said yes. I'm just kidding. But that's me. That's the big idea. I want to develop our church. I want our leaders to develop with passion in our church to understand that you can make a significant difference if you're in the center of God's will in your life. And wouldn't it be great if teenagers knew some of this? I think teenagers ought to know when they go into the marketplace what their shape is. It'd be great to know this. How do I know how I am gifted with abilities, experiences, spiritual gifts, all of these things? Wouldn't you want to have known this when you were a kid? I had no idea. None. And we preach the Bible every week. And so it gives you an opportunity to get into what God has gifted you to do and start heading that direction. Education says that about 25% of people learn by reading and studying. That's me. I like to read. I like to study. But most people learn by it being listening, modeled, show me. I see some nodding from these young guys back here. It is true. I wish education could switch it up, but it's almost impossible to teach that way, right? Sometimes. I mean, but the only place you get to do that is in shop, where I got 3 paddlings one time for running in shop. It was bad. He made me cry almost. It was close. But it helped me increase my success by being right in the center of God's will. Number 3, it gives me or offers me the opportunity to live the abundant life Jesus promised Christ followers. The thief has come to kill, steal, and destroy you. But Jesus says, I have come to give you life, life to the fullest, more abundant life. This is what he has offered us. And it's what so few Christians, I think, sometimes live, because some of it, I'm not saying all of it. I mean, sin and not sin and walking with Jesus and not walking with obedience, right? I get all of that. But I think some of it is sunk into this. That when you know what you're shaped to do, what God made you to do, gives you such freedom to be all that God's called you to be, because your life is in harmony with his plan. Number 4, and lastly, it builds Christ-centric esteem in me. I always use it this way because I grew up under self-esteem, and I get it, right? I know I grew up, and I did not have very high self-esteem, just so you know. But what I've come to understand is that our identity in Christ, that is what really matters. That when you know who you are in him, he builds you up so that you might build others up for his glory and their good. You're humble and confident at the same time, aren't you? You're both humble and confident. I'm not super confident. I'm humbled all the time because I'm a moron. Yeah. But what I know is God wants to use me because of Christ in me, not because my self-esteem, but because of his esteem building me up. I believe that. I'm not raising myself up by my bootstraps or positive thinking or any of that stuff. It's based on what Christ has done for me. And when you understand these two truths, man, it helps a whole lot. Number one is, you matter to God. Jesus Christ proved it. He died on the cross. He didn't die for junk. He died for you. He didn't do that because you're some accident. He did that because you matter so much to God that Jesus would stretch out his arms and he would die on the cross for your sin. And he would forgive you of that sin and show you such grace, and that you would effectively reach out and take it by faith, receiving Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, turning from your idolatry, your sin, and turning to Jesus. And asking him to come into your life and save you from your sin and give you a brand new life. That's our God. That's a truth that matters. And the second thing is, you were shaped by God. You were made by God, and you were shaped by God for a purpose. When you understand these two things, you understand why Cornerstone Baptist Church is here. We first of all want to help you understand you matter to God. And we want you to fall in love with Jesus and then obey Jesus by following Jesus. But we also want to help you understand the significance by which he made you for his glory and the good of others, how he shaped you. My mom, growing up, man, my mom was just a disaster. And I love my mama. She has since passed. But when I was growing up, her and I could talk. My dad and I always kind of had a harder time talking. My brothers and him, 2 peas in a pod, you know, it's that kind of deal. Just different, it's different strokes. It's just different things. And so my mom, I remember being able to talk to her, but my mom was always just in her bedroom. Just always sick. Always just messed up. I remember growing up and her screaming at us as kids. She was just frothing at the mouth sometimes. And I watched her. I watched the way she did life and that environment. And I kind of grabbed on to some of those things and I put them in my heart. Like, you're imprinted at birth, but you also have some nurture in that, right? That you're watching a mama who's jacked up. She was abused when she was a kid. Her father, every way possible, she was messed up all her life. And then my dad met her, get married, start doing life together. First 5, 6, 7 years, don't know Jesus. Mildred comes by, starts knocking on the door. Can little Danny come to church? Can he come on the church bus? And then I get on the church bus and we all get Jesus and the trajectory changed. But one thing that didn't change for my mom was her identity. Her identity was all caught up in her sickness, in her hurt, in her pain, in her hurts, habits, and hang-ups. And she goes see counselors and she goes see people. You with me on this? But I watched my mom just head off into oblivion my whole life. And I am so secure in understanding now that while I have had some of those horrible thoughts that she's had, while I have done some of the horrible things that she's done, my identity is not in that hurt, not in those habits, not in those hang-ups, but is in Jesus and who He's made me to be. That's how you break the cycle. You get in the book. You get before the Father. You start loving Jesus. You start walking with a church that loves you, that some leaders that care about you, that want to take you on a ride like no other for Jesus. And so, man, I'm inviting you to something maybe you haven't heard about or maybe you haven't been a part of. But 1 Corinthians 15:10 says, it's only by the grace of God I am what I am. It's only by His grace. You don't deserve the life you have. You got up this morning. It didn't rain on us that bad. And God brought us here and you're safe. And you're listening to me yell at you. But if you'll accept what He's made you to be, you'll enjoy life a whole lot more. You ought to thank Him for it. You ought to see the wisdom in it. You ought to understand that your gifts, hearts, ability, personality, and experiences, that they were all so that you could contribute your uniqueness to this world via the church, via life, and that you're all in on what God has made you to be. And so I'll do that for His glory and the good of others. Would you bow your head and close your eyes? No one's looking. Heavenly Father, what an awesome God You are. You had us in mind before the foundations of the universe, that we're not some randomly selected code, but You have lovingly fashioned us with the DNA You've given us, wired us the way You made us. Lord, there are people here that need to understand that You care about them, that that they matter to You. Help them sense Your love, Father. If there's someone here that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, may this be the day that they place their full trust in the Lord Jesus and what He did on that cross for them. That they would pray and ask Jesus to come into their life and save them and forgive them of their sins and be the new Lord of their life. Today would be that day of salvation. Father, there are some here that know Jesus. They know Your word. Help them to discover their shape. Help them to understand what they were crafted for, fashioned for, put together for in Your unique purpose for them and Your agenda for them. We ask all these things in Jesus' sweet name. And everyone said, amen. Would you rise on up? We believe people will find success in life and significance and meaning and satisfaction when you understand what God made you to be. So we pray that God will help you understand that today. Would we sing together? Here we go.
'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know Thus saith the Lord, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I've proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him.
Are you glad to be in God's house today? Can I get a yes? Good deal, man. I hope that you will sign up. If there's anything that we can do to help you while you're still here in this building, Branson and I and Neil are all here. Any of the guys sitting up front here would love to help you. If you've got any hurts, habits, hang-ups that you just need to talk about, pray about, walk through about, that's what we're here for. We love you, and we're so thankful that God has led you here today. Everybody good? Mm-hmm. Neil, you got something?
Branson? I have nothing.
Has youth camp, if you tried to point your camera at that code, please forgive us. It did not go anywhere, and it will have somewhere to go next week. So we want all your kiddos to go to camp. Don't neglect that. Make sure you're part of that. All right, get out.